Okay, I want to pick up on where we were last week with the different pictures and the different prophetic words that were being spoken out. I'm not going to bring them in full. If you want them on full, they're on Zoom. They're not on the website, because some of the words are just for in-house. But a question that was asked: are you risen to the full potential of the DNA that God has put inside of you? Have you risen to the full potential? Have you got there? Are you perfection? Have you got to the top yet? I don't think there's any yeses. That's me. Yes. Yeah. But God's put stuff inside of us, and God wants that stuff to come out. God wants to raise us up. He wants to release His fullness, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in us, so God can do immeasurably more than we hope for or imagine. That's a lot. Or it should be. Yeah. God asked another question. Do you want it? And will you walk in it? So do you want the fullness? Are you going to walk in the fullness? Then you remember had the sound of the drum, almost like the death knell. But then the beat changed. And it was a rhythm of advancement. There's a war going on. Let's remember that. It can be so easy to get complacent, but there's a war going on. There's another one started today. Or continue today, but it's reached the news today. You know, right around the world, there's all sorts of physical wars, but there's also a massive spiritual war. The war in the heavenlies that's going on at this present time. But the war and the tide has changed. That's what we believe God said to us last week. The war and the tide has changed. And there was the picture given. I saw a cruise liner coming into harbour. Well, normally things go smashing when the cruise liners are coming in, but something happened, and it crashed into the dock, and everybody had to get off. And the word came: the day of the cruise liner is finished. And God caused the crash of the cruise liner because He wanted. He was saying, what have I got to do to get you into the right place? Because I want you in a place where there's no limits and there's no boundaries. There's a warship waiting, berthed at the other dock. And we can only advance the kingdom, impact the community and the region, if we're on the warship. On the warship is the only safe place. It's the place of destiny. It's the place of fulfillment. Then was another question asked. Will you come with me? Will you sail with me? Will you disembark and come on to my timeline? Everything you need is on the warship to see lives changed in your family, in the area, and beyond. And we declared, as God had said, no limits. No limits. No boundaries for us. Jesus is the navigator. And there is Spirit, Holy Spirit, without measure. God's not stingy. He doesn't pour out a little bit and say, that's your ration for today. He pours out everything that's needed. Every restriction we were declaring to be broken off as we receive the Holy Spirit without measure. Now that's an ongoing work. As we can't say, right, we received it last week. Because I think if we said we received everything last week, we might be feeling a little bit deflated this morning. But we've got, we're moving into that place. We stood and declared that there was no restriction over the corporate body. And we signed up to be on the worship crew. Now that's it in verbal things. But I thought I wanted to do something a little bit different. You see, a couple of weeks ago, David was using PowerPoint. Last week, Chris was using Flipchart. But I want to put a picture board up. And I'm just going to need some help. I'll get out of the way of the speaker. And I'm not doing things by half this morning. I'm not being outdone by the PowerPoint. Or, Jonathan, will you come and help me, please? That's it. Can you see that? Yes. I hope so. It's a pink sheet, yes. Yes. Somebody said to me, do you have pink sheets on your bed? It doesn't bother me what colour the sheets are. Some folks say, oh, men can't have pink sheets. Why not? It's just a sheet. Anyway, here we go. And the pictorial board. The cruise ship Beacon. That's what we're called, remember? The Beacon Church. The cruise ship Beacon. On the 9th of April 2023, the Beacon passenger ship crashed into the dock. God was awakening all aboard to get off the cruise liner and to reposition onto the warship. There was a realigning. And we've got HMS Victory. A sail ship. A sailing. And how many times have we had that? Just let me get, keep it, so I keep it on track because I've got it worded, yes. Yeah. We've had a number of pictures, haven't we? A number of words. Yeah, about the sailing ship. That sailing ship was called Trust. Well, I couldn't find Trust, but I put Victory up instead. Because it's a good name as Victory, isn't it? It's what we want to have, yes. You know, and we had the first of all, there was just the sailing ship was there. Then a bit later on, we had another picture where the sailing ship was in full sail. That the sails were full and the sails were rainbows. And let's remember, the rainbow is God's promise. It's been hijacked, but it's God's for the Christians. You know, and it's promises of God. And the word that was given with the sailing ship, with the trust, was, as you allow me to fill your sails with the Holy Spirit, God will take us to wherever he wants us to go to. So I put a picture up here of HMS Victory. That was a 104-gun battleship. That was quite formidable. I wouldn't have liked to have gotten in the way of those guns when they were blasting off. And behold, I'm doing a new thing, which may not look like what you expect. So when we're looking from here, God's saying that moving off from the cruise liner, we are transitioning into a warship. Now, when you look at a warship, do you think of the sail ship, the old one? Or do you think of one of these things with great big cannon and turret, you know, turrets, gun turrets on? I put HMS Belfast up there. Why is that? HMS Belfast was the largest ship in Her Majesty's Navy. An amazing ship. Belfast. We'll be coming back to that. That's more current. But if you want to go even further forward, what do you think a warship is going to look like? Well, there's a drawing or an artist impression or whatever it is. It must be the plan of HMS Dreadnought. Can you get a good picture? Is that on the screen? So can you get a bit closer, David, so people can see? Yep, limit. There's nothing on the top. There's no cannons. Absolutely nothing. Think, hang on, that can't be a warship. But I'm sure that there are actually things that you open up to let the missiles come flying out. And I know that part of this front deck opens up, the hatch comes up, so the drones can come in and out. So forget your aircraft with men on board, you've just got drones coming out now. Yeah. So that's HMS Dreadnought. Yeah. So we've got massive changes in design. But we're transitioning onto a warship. But remember, if the word that was given some time ago, our worship is our warship. Our worship is our warship. So what does it look like? What does our warship, what's it going to look like? I believe it's going to be a place where worship and praise pulls down every single enemy stronghold and causes the enemy to flee. A place where the crew are exhibiting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're going to be extruding. They're going to be pouring out of the crew. And Sandra said on Thursday night at the prayer meeting, we're going to need a name for this ship. But God had given her during the night or early on that day, HMS Valiant. Valiant. Yeah. So we've got there, HMS Valiant. It's going to be sailing on to victory. There's going to be the bells ringing. Bell. There's going to be fasting and fast moving. Belfast. And dreading nothing as the kingdom of God is advancing. So what does it look like? That's something for you to think about and for us to actually see what's actually happening. What's coming into being as we move on into the future of what God's got for us. And you see around the outside, we've got the names in big bold of the main trainers, the apostles. And then we signed up as crew around the bottom. We've got there, the kingdom needs you. If you're not signed up, you can sign up. Wherever HMS Valiant sails, there's going to be victory in her wake. Because her very name speaks. Sorry, wherever Valiant sails, there's going to be victory. Because her very name speaks of bravery and courage. The crew will be facing problems, yes. But they'll diligently serve and they're going to keep moving on and growing. Jesus is the captain. Jesus is the navigator. And when we look at HMS Valiant, the immediate thing that came to my mind was, and no doubt you'll have done it, you've got it in your head already, he who would valiant be. Yes, you know, a song that we used to sing, it was a regular thing. You know, it's a golden oldie. 1684. So we do ancient and modern here, you know. Yeah. So we've got there, we've got massive changes going on, but we go back to foundational things as well, don't we? Go back to the bedrock. You know, there's no discouragement. He who would valiant be against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master. There's no discouragement that shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. So it's your first intent is to be a crew member. Yeah, and valiant and moving forward. Yeah, the enemy won't be able to stop us. Even though we fight giants, not going to stop us. And you know, if you can remember a few years ago, we were at a meeting with a men's prayer and fasting in York, and we were praying, and some of the men said, "You lot punch well above your weight." So that's it. We may be small in number, but we're punching well above the weight, and we're following through in what God is telling us to do. Yeah. If anybody would like a refresher, the words of that valiant be are here, if you want them there. There's a war on, though, isn't there? Isn't there? Why? The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's what Jesus said. The enemy's on one side, but Jesus and us on the other side. The cruise ship was good for life, for the time that we had on it, I should say. You know, but it wasn't in all its fullness. Why? Because we're created. Yeah, we've got a part of us is created to link to God, but a part of us created to see souls saved. That's our commission. That's our task. That's our job. And that's what God wants us to be doing. That's part of our DNA, to see people saved and set free. Set free from what? From the enemy. From the evil one. From however we want to put it. And a couple of weeks ago, David mentioned Jonathan Edwards and his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he said, hadn't looked at it, but he didn't think that was a right title for a minister to be preaching about. Well, it got me intrigued, because I hadn't looked at it either. So I got hold of it. So you're going to hear part of Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God this morning. Not something I normally preach about. At one point, it used to be hellfire and damnation breathed from the pulpits, and woe betide you if you don't listen. Yeah. We've changed things a little bit, haven't we? You know, Jonathan Edwards, he was preaching. This sermon was at the time of a great awakening, July the 8th, 1741. So you see, we're going ancient and modern again. The place was a very wicked place. And his whole emphasis and reason for this sermon was to wake the people up to the fact that they will be judged by God, and that this judgment from God will be more fearful and painful than they can ever comprehend. And so we used to get hellfire and damnation preached from pulpits regular way. And then it swung round because that wasn't popular. People didn't like that. Oh, you've offended them. And it got to be grace. And grace. And more grace. You can do what you like, in fact, because God doesn't care. He accepts everybody into heaven. That's one of the biggest lies the enemy's put out. God does care. God's passionate for each one of us. He would have the whole world saved. But there's an enemy at work. And there's a human instinct at work as well. God's not just a God of love. He's a God of judgment. He is the judge. Jesus tells us that. God is the judge. Satan is the accuser. And Jesus is the advocate. In the courtroom of heaven, you need the advocate to put your case against the accuser, or the accuser speaks and there's only one side comes in. Jonathan said about God's wrath, their feet shall slide in due time. And he was quoting from Deuteronomy. And he was saying, people are walking on a very, very slippery path. And there is nothing that keeps wicked men at any one moment out of hell but the mere pleasure of God. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm quoting him. So don't take offense at me. Take offense at him. There's nothing that keeps wicked men at any one moment out of hell but the mere pleasure of God. I'm just taking snippets out of it. It's 9 pages long, so I don't think you would like me to read it all, would you? I can if you want. Yeah. The devil stands ready to fall upon them and seize them as his own. At what moment God shall permit him? They belong to him. That's the devil. He has their souls in his possession and under his dominion. The use of this awful subject may be for the awakening unconverted persons in this congregation. That's what he said to his people he was speaking to. This that you have heard is the case of every one of you that are out of Christ. The world of misery, the lake of burning brimstone, is extended abroad unto you. There is a dreadful pit of glowing flames of the wrath of God. There is hell's wide gaping mouth open, and you have nothing to stand upon, nor anything to take hold of. There is nothing between you and hell but the air. It's only the power and mere pleasure of God that holds you up. Your wickedness makes you as if you were as heavy as lead, and to tend downwards with great weight and pressure towards hell. And if God should let you go, you would immediately sink and swiftly descend and plunge into the bottomless gulf. And your healthy constitution and your care and prudence and best contrivance and all your righteousness would have no more influence to uphold you and keep you out of hell than a spider's web would stop a falling rock. Some quite good descriptions, isn't there? The bow of God's wrath is bent, and the arrow made ready for the on the string. And justice bends the arrow at your heart and strains the bow. And it is nothing but the mere pleasure of God, and that of an angry God, without any promise or obligation at all, that keeps the arrow one moment from being made drunk with your blood. Thus all you that never passed under the great change of heart by the mighty power of the Spirit of God upon your souls, all you that were never born again and made new creatures and raised from being dead in sin to a state of new and before altogether unexperienced light and life are in the hands of the angry God. Yeah, not mincing words. Putting it through in the right, you know, trying to put us into context. You can say, well, he's bringing fear into people. Oh, sinner, consider the fearful danger you are in. It is the great furnace of wrath, a wide and bottomless pit full of the fire of wrath that you are held over in the hand of God, whose wrath is provoked and increased as much against you as against many that are damned in hell. You hang on by a slender thread, and the flames of divine wrath flashing about it, and ready every moment to singe it and burn it asunder. And you have no interest in your mediator, and nothing to lay hold of to save yourself, nothing to keep off the flames of wrath, nothing at all, nothing that you ever done, nothing that you can do to induce God to spare you one moment. See, he summed up the gospel there, hasn't he? It's only through Jesus. We can't do anything without Jesus. Our own self-righteousness, our own works, our own thoughts cannot save us. It's only as we take on the righteousness that we receive through accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's an everlasting wrath. It would be dreadful to suffer this fierceness and wrath of Almighty God one moment, but you must suffer it to all eternity. It's putting it into context, isn't it, as well? It's awful to be subject to a pain or something for a short while, but if you know that it is for eternity, there will be no end to this exquisite, horrible misery. We've got to recognize that if we are saved, we're in a good place. But if we're not, we are in a horrendous place. Perhaps not at the present time, but in the future, we will be. His themes for the Great Awakening were one, all people are born sinners. Two, sin without salvation will send a person to hell. How many times, this is awful, but how many times have you been at funerals where everybody is told they're going to heaven? Sad as it is, they are not. You just need to look at Scripture and you will find out that that is not the case. But, third point, all people can be saved if they confess their sins to God, seek forgiveness, and accept God's grace. And the fourth point, all people can have a direct and personal connection with God. I don't think we'll dispute any of those points. That's what he was preaching back in 1740, because the place was such a wickedness. But actually, when you start looking at the way things were then to the way they are now, there ain't no difference. God's gospel, God's message, is for time immemorial. It's a case, what was relevant when Jesus walked the earth? What was relevant in 1700? What was relevant in 1800? What is relevant today? It moves on. Okay, there might be some transitioning taking place. There may be some tweaks. The structure of the Deccan might be different. But God knows what's happening. He's changing things. Yes, okay, we've got to bring things into line. Yeah, but we haven't got to chuck out the fundamentals. We stick on the bedrock, on the pillars of our faith. And we move forward, recognizing what's going on. So what's happening? And let everyone that is yet out of Christ and hanging over the pit of hell, whether they be old men and women, or middle-aged, or young people, or little children, now hearken to the loud calls of God's word and providence. This acceptable year of the Lord, a day of such great favor to some, will doubtless be a day of as remarkable vengeance to others. Back to choices. We can make that choice to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, or we can refuse it. Men's hearts harden and their guilt increases apace at such a day as this. That was 1741. It's the same today. Men, their guilt increases apace at such a day as this. If they neglect their souls, and never was there so great danger of such persons being given up to hardness of heart and blindness of mind. We can see that more and more and more as the days go on, as the days get darker. People turning away from the love of God. People turning away, they don't want to hear. How many times have we said you can see the veil, the shutters go up. You have a perfectly good conversation. Soon as you say Jesus, boom, switch off. Not interested, boring, without even hearing it. And it's the greatest message they could ever have and the greatest message they could ever receive. Because it's a message that it will last for eternity. If they block it, they will be without God for eternity. God seems now to be hastily gathering in his elect in all parts of the land. You see, hastily gathering. At that time, there was an awakening. There were people coming in. And you've got the Wesleys coming in. You've got people coming in. You've got different times when there seems to have been a hastening of God drawing people in. How much longer is God going to be saying, right, there's going to be an ingathering to my kingdom? We're looking forward. We're anticipating, you know, a revival, another awakening. But how many more? And people have got to actually get to realize this. The eternity without God is not going to be pleasant. It's saying God is now hastily gathering in his elect in all parts of the land, and probably the greater part of adult persons that ever shall be saved will be brought in now in a little time. See, that could have been written for today. God's going to bring in, and what do we know now? There are more Christians on the earth today than there ever has been. And God is still holding back his hand. He said, I don't want anybody to go into hell. And I'm restraining myself. And God's pleading with people, saying, look, come to me. Accept me as your Lord and your Savior. There'll be a great outpouring, what he's saying here in 70, upon the Jews. Now, I haven't got my history right up to date yet from what happened from the 17th century, but the Jews have had a heck of a time since then. And we were praying on Thursday night for the peace of, and last Sunday for the peace of Jerusalem, because what's going on around Israel now is incredible. Yeah, but we've got here, there's going to be an outpouring of God's Spirit upon the Jews. And for the elect, the ones that God has chosen, there's still more people to come in. But then he says, the rest will be blinded. And he goes on, if this should be the case with you, you will eternally curse this day, and will curse the day that you ever were born. To see such a seasoning as the outpouring of God's Spirit, you'll wish you'd died and gone to hell before you saw it, because you'll be in hell with a thought of what it was like in God's revival time, but haven't accepted it. Now undoubtedly, it is, as it was in the days of John the Baptist, the axe is in an extraordinary manner laid at the root of the tree. That every tree which brings not forth good fruit may be hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, let everyone that is out of Christ now awake and fly from the wrath to come. The wrath of Almighty God is now undoubtedly hanging over a great part of the congregation. Again, what are we saying there? I'm not saying that here. but a great part. God's wrath is hanging over how many people? And they don't even realize it. They just ignore it. What was the last census? How many people said they were Christian within this nation alone, let alone the rest of the world? And God's wrath is hanging over those 50-odd percent that said they didn't believe in a God. Let everyone fly out of Sodom. Haste and escape for your lives. Look not behind. Escape to the mountains, lest you be consumed. That was Jonathan Edwards' sermon. Encapsulated. What happened? He never got a chance to finish it. Why? Because it impacted the people so much that they were shrieking, they were howling, they were crying out in anguish. What have I got to do to be saved? It impacted them. And that's part of being on the crew. To know Jesus as Lord and Savior is a fantastic place to be. And to know our God as a God of love, His love poured out towards us. As we said there, He's never going to leave us. He's never going to let us down. But to deny Jesus is a dreadful place to be. And that's where the fear that He's talking about comes from. Our fear is awesome, respectful. Their fear is dread, horror. And it needs to be in the hands of the wrath of God. But God will save everyone. No, He will not save everyone. He tells us very clearly. He says, go from me. I never knew you. Jesus said that again with the parable, didn't he, about the virgins. Half got in. Notice, half got in. Half didn't. They knocked at the door. They opened the slide. We don't know you. Go away. Too late. And that's part of our job now as crew members. It's to share the gospel. And I'm saying this because to actually stir us up some more. To be sharing. To be gossiping the gospel. To be giving our testimonies out. And what have we said so many times? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What you've done in the past, Lord, you're going to do again. What you've done for me, and I share it with somebody else, you can do it for them. And so we keep going, and it keeps going. I want us to get back. We're good, but I want to get back to the stage where we're coming in on a Sunday morning. Bang, 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 bang. Look what's happened. Look what's happened. I spoke to them. I saw this. I saw that, the other. We're seeing the different things that God is doing throughout the week. I think I've shared with you before, Bethel leaders meeting, Monday morning, the first hour. It's just testimony of what God has done in the past week. How about that? Extending the service because we've got an hour of testimony. Just look what the Lord has done to give thanks. The power, have you got that for me, please? I'm just going to play something now, and please, not everybody is touched the same way. So don't feel condemned or anything by what has been put on here. But this is one lady's experience. Those who were doing the keys to wholeness saw this on Wednesday night. And I just thought, wow, what a testimony this lady's got. So, and we just put it on.
I took several attempts of my life. I just wanted to die. I didn't enjoy living. I didn't like who I was. I didn't like who was around me. I didn't enjoy anything. But they did give me a diagnosis of borderline personality disorder on top of emotionally unstable disorder and various other anxieties and depressions and everything else. But I was told that it was a diagnosis that I couldn't overcome. I had to live with it, and I couldn't cope with that. And I had a friend who we used to get up to no good with, and she became a Christian. And I'd bump into her now and again, and she would always share the gospel with me, and I would always reject it. So I asked if she would pick me up on the Sunday to go to church. The pastor was talking, and I wasn't really listening. And then I just heard him talking about the mental illness and how we can overcome that. And it just really gave me hope. I said to my friend one night after many tears, I said, write out that salvation prayer for me then and I'll take it home. As soon as I'd finished it, I just felt this lifting. I felt free and lifted and light, and I was happy. I just felt like everything that was holding me down all my life had been taken out of me in that instant, and I couldn't stop smiling, and I was just so happy. And I felt, for the first time in my life, in 36 years, I felt freedom to just read the Bible and know that what I was reading could be applied into my life and used. I was just so on fire for God. For me to go on the Freedom in Christ course, it helped me to understand that there is an enemy, the devil is real, and he will try and put things in our minds. I sat before my psychologist. He was gobsmacked. He couldn't speak. I've never seen a psychologist stuck for words before. He couldn't speak. He was just, his face was, everything was just like, wow, what's happened to you? The psychologist wrote me off there. I was not in the mental health system anymore. They could not find a reason for me to be there. You know, I was discharged from the services. Since I've been a Christian, I've never had to go to the doctor with any mental health issues. I've never had to take any tablets for that. I use the word of God now when I feel anxious or stressed. I see my miraculous healing and deliverance as initially as from God. He's done the most work, but there is a daily working with him in that. I used to go to church and I would get these voices coming in my head still, and I would get vivid pictures and stuff which were not nice. For example, if there's something in my mindset telling me that I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, I'm useless, I will then use scriptures. I speak to my mind and I'd ask the Lord to renew my mind daily, and that normally does it.
Yes, the power of salvation. One prayer, and she was set free. And we hear that happening to other people as well. Set free from all sorts of things. I'm not just saying depression or anything like that, but the power of God. Let's not underestimate it. What was she told? You'll never get over it. You'll never get rid of it. And how many times do we hear that where they're saying, you'll not get over that? Well, that's without God. But with God, all things are possible. That's what God tells us in his word. All things are possible for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.